Like the best athletes in the world have coaches. The best business people in the world have coaches. They don't, they're not running down those roads themselves. They're leaning on mentors the whole time so that they don't have to reinvent the wheel of a mistake somebody else made so that they can take that baton and run faster and farther than somebody else ran. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore. I'm back with my main man, Jake Sheehy, for Whiskey Wednesday.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How you feeling?
Feeling good, buddy. How you feeling?
Man, it's a great day to be alive.
Great day to be alive.
Yes,
I like
sir.
It.
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
We got some good stuff on today's agenda. We're feeling good, feeling ready, hitting the ground running, huh?
You got the puffer coat on. It's a little chilly out there
today. It's a little chilly, man. But, you know, I like it toasty. I got the space heater on.
You got the, heater on.
I keep
you got the puffer coat on. Like, we're like rocking and rolling in the cozy atmosphere for you.
Well, I honestly had to get – I had to scrape the ice off Nicole's car this morning. So I was like, this is – it's the temperature. It's starting to happen. So I'm loving
it. We got caught in a snowstorm this weekend. So
really?
Yeah, up on the mountain.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here we go. So let's talk about – we're going to talk about your hunting trip that you did this weekend. Then we're going to go into what goes into the bio of your property listing.
Okay.
And we'll look at two examples here. Then we're going to look at the loyalty program. I have a Dave and Buster's idea I want to run by you and kind of get your thought process on this. And then we're going to have a friendly little debate. Okay. Today's debate is I don't need a mentor. That's going to be my stance. And we're going to kind of go back and forth on your thought process. But first and foremost, you had a really fun weekend. Tell me about your hunting trip. You got you got some meat. Huh?
Yeah, we filled the freezer with some meat.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, so we went up on a deer hunting trip and took myself, my brother, and we took our two kids. I took Grace doesn't like to hunt. Grace and Teresa, they are they're not anti-hunting, but they have zero interest in being part of the process of the hunt. They love the meat. They love eating. They're not vegetarians by any stretch, but they don't want to see how that meat gets to the plate.
Right.
If that makes sense, right?
That makes total sense.
So Wyatt, though he loves hunting. It's one of his favorite things. It's one of the favorite things we do together. And my brother Casey, and then we brought his daughter up for her first deer hunt.
Wow,
it's so fun. Yeah, it was fun to.
Oh wow! So she's into that thing.
The jury's still out. Whether she's into it or not, we're gonna find out next year when she gets the invite if she ends up. Ends up coming up. It was a fun hunt though. We had. We had a lot of we go to an area that is iron sights only, which means you're shooting like we're shooting lever action 30-30s, which is kind of an old school gun, no scopes, and makes the fun pretty fun. You have to get a lot closer, not as close as you have to be with the bow and arrows and stuff. But you got to be, you know, these guns will shoot 300 yards, right?
That's old cowboy style right there. That's
show,
what you're working
show
with,
that
man?
On show that's on YouTube. Also, yeah, exactly.
That's cowboy style
we're
right
shooting
there.
The Marlin
dude.
30-30 right there, 336. I was actually shooting I don't ever shoot one. Wow. I have a tag, but I let Wyatt and my brother both shot one, and we shot one with my great grandpa's lever action 30-30 that I restored. Dude. Like, so it had a broken stock. It was in bad shape, rusty old gun that you kind of one of those guns you're sitting above the fireplace, but nobody ever shoots anymore.
Yeah.
And last year I had it all restored, took it to a gunsmith and
nice.
Cleaned it up, restored the stock. The original stock, he had to put some pins in it so it wasn't all broken. And he's like, "Do you want a new stock?" And so we decided to go with just put the old one back together. Wow. And it was awesome. So we got a couple nice deer.
That's
pretty
cool. Do you have to get closer to the deer if you have the iron sights?
Yeah.
I would guess, huh?
In our case, yes. There are people who, those guns will shoot 300 yards at least, 400 yards. Probably could have enough energy to kill a deer, in my opinion. But when a deer's that far out with iron sights, you can't, in my opinion, you cannot get a good, accurate shot because the whole sight is covering up the whole deer that far away. So our rule is it's got to be 150 yards or less.
Wow, so you're getting close to this thing, huh?
Yes, we have to get a little bit closer. So you're spotting them from far away and stalking them.
Dude, wow.
It's pretty fun. Yeah,
that's pretty fun.
It was fun. So we ended up having couple nice bucks, and it was a lot of fun.
How's the, like, do you hike for miles during that, or do you kind of just like sit there and wait for them to come to you, or was that?
No,
like...
so what we'll do is we'll set up on a ridge out west. You got really long range views, right? So you're like in the western mountains, you've got views like we're seeing 1,000 yards. So we'll see, you know, out where you're coming from in Georgia, and we get into those mountains, it's too wooded, right? You're not seeing that far.
Yeah.
So you're setting up in fields or, you know, feed plots or tree stands, and you're kind of, you're not really looking that far out west when we go hunt. There's a lot of like you'll get up on a ridge line and you'll look at multiple canyons and multiple draws. And so we spotted these deer from about 1,000 yards out. And then you have to make a play on them. And then you have to go and you see and kind of watch them bed down. And then you're like, okay, we're going to make a play. And these ones we ended up going about, it was probably about a 4.5-5 mile trek in and to find them and sneak up on them. And
that's pretty cool.
It's fun when it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes they spook before you get close enough. We ended up, this one worked out and it was a lot of fun.
Man, that's really cool. That's
and intense. Then the work starts. Then you get one down that far end, and you can't drive to them. You can't, like, this is a walk-in access type only area, and so
you just pack coolers. You're trying to pack your cooler, and you just
you do at your camp. But I mean, you're up on the mountain. You got to get those suckers out to the road. You're 5 miles in. It's a day's job to try to get that meat out and get that deer out.
When you eat it though, it's like, oh, I worked for this. This is some good stuff.
It's
this
fun,
is
worth it. Wow. Exactly. It's fun. It's a great experience.
That seems like a really fun.
And then the weather started hitting on us, and it was we started the day with great weather, and then by the time we were wrapping up, you got snow flying. You know, we're in like 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts and snow. It's like a blizzard, and so that adds to
that. Yeah, that's awesome.
We talk about it. We finally get back and warmed up, and we're you sit and talk about it all night. It's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. All right. Okay, let's get into this. We're going into some short-term rental education right now. We're going to talk about what goes into the bio of your property.
Yeah,
I have two examples here. The Dome Home with one of our members, Harmon. We have an episode with him, episode 153. He has the Dome Home, really unique property. You can go listen to that episode.
But we're number one property in Snowshoe, West Virginia, right?
Yes, sir.
Just a plug there, number one revenue property. Good job, Harmon.
I love that. And then I kind of have this other random property that's really cheap that I found. Just to kind of go two examples that I can show the audience if you're watching on YouTube. But I kind of wanted to just break down what goes into the – I'm calling this a bio, but is that the correct term for this, the bio of your property?
Yeah. Okay. So description.
Okay, your description of your property. Yep. So let's run through some of this. When we take a look at Harmon's here, his is way longer, and something that immediately pokes out to me is his reviews. Yep. How many reviews? Because it seems like he almost has one for each at the top, talking about the space, talking about the prices, talking about what he has access to. Are reviews a big thing that you should have in there?
100%. Okay. So one of the biggest parts of our training is how to write these descriptions and these bios.
Okay.
And one, understand that most people will not read your description until they're about ready to book your property. So you have to tell the story of your property in your photos. It's why we show everything about that property, but we also show everything about the area and everything else. Like, what are they going to be doing in that area? When they come visit your property, what is the full experience going to be? Mm-hmm. Many people will put, we're 10 minutes from here, 5 minutes from here, a mile from that. And they don't put it anywhere other than the description. And so you have to realize that, and they have a kind of a crappy photo shoot and a crappy, they don't do a good job of telling the story and telling the experience through their photos. Mm-hmm. And they assume that, well, people will go to the description to get all that extra information. Mm-hmm. If you lose them in the photos, nobody's reading the description.
Right.
The other thing is, by the time they get to the description, one of the things that everybody knows is that I'm going to write the best thing I can possible about my property. I'm going to tell a great story. I'm going to give you all this information. Mm-hmm. But who does a better job of telling the story is the people who have been there. Mm. So we use that description as extra third-party validation, and we let other people tell the story about the property. Mm-hmm. And so we'll layer on, sometimes, a dozen, reviews or what people were saying about the property as we're telling the story about the property, about the space. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about the kitchen and how well stocked it is, we layer it with what somebody said about how well stocked the kitchen was. When we talk about the bedrooms, we're going to find somewhere where somebody said how amazing our mattresses were and what a great night's sleep they had. Mm-hmm. And so as we're trying to tell that story, we let other people tell the story for us. And one, people trust what somebody else says about your stuff way more than what you're going to say about your own thing. And so that third party validation is, it starts to solidify. Mm-hmm. Again, they're close to making that decision already. We know that most people do not, when you're scrolling online and you're looking for properties, just think about your own self in consumer behavior. Mm-hmm. You're looking at the pictures. You're not reading descriptions on every property The only one you're reading is the ones that you're pretty interested in.
Right.
And so by the time you're pretty interested, we find that third-party validation where somebody else is telling how great this is enough to get people to book over somebody else's that doesn't have that because all of a sudden they trust it more. They trust that, other people have liked this. Other people have said all these nice things about it. I don't want to screw it up. I'm going with this one.
Right. okay, walk me through this. I'm launching the property. I don't have those reviews yet. Should I get family members to go in there and get honest feedback and use what they say? Or is that too cheesy? What should I do if I don't 100%. Have those
reviews? So anytime yet? You buy a property, you're usually showing it to people. You're somebody's seeing it. Many times you're having somebody stay. We suggest having somebody stay your property, use everything, tell you what's wrong with it, poke holes in it, like tell you what they like, what they don't like, so that you can make those adjustments before we really fully launch and go live.
Right.
And so in those cases, they're going to give you that feedback and they're going to say some really nice things about the property, along with maybe some good feedback that you can make changes of. Take that really nice stuff that they said and put that in the description, right? If they said, "Hey, man, your mattresses were awesome. We loved them. We got a great night's sleep." And Mary said that, and Mary happens to be my sister, I'm going to put that in there, right? Yeah. And so it's still okay to say if somebody else said it and they stayed in that property and gave you good feedback. Many times your inspector, your realtor will come through and be like, "Man, we love the view of this property. This is the most amazing view I've ever seen." I'll take that and I'll put that in there because that's truly what somebody's opinion was about that specific thing that they're giving us a review on.
Okay. What about the length of this? Clearly Harmon's is way longer. Is there ever a point where you go, "Man, this is too long. Like someone's not going to read all this." Or do you, you lay it on thick. You make this thing long, full of reviews.
Well, one, we're going to tell the story as well as we can about a property. And we're going to let other people tell it. As, like I said, with that third-party validation, third-party reviews are important. As we get more and more of those reviews, we just keep updating it. And we just let – there are many times, like when you go look at some of my properties, it's mostly just other people saying stuff about the property. And I take away what my description out of it. Ultimately, you know, in the beginning, I have to have a little of my description because I might only have – four or five people have even seen it and had an opinion on it. After that, property's been on for a year. I've got 50 reviews, and I'm going to pull from them, and I'm going to let them tell that story. If it becomes – where it becomes too long or too short is when you start to get redundant with stuff.
Right.
And where you start to be very redundant on talking about the same thing over and over, reiterating what somebody else said in a review. You don't need to reiterate stuff. And then a lot of times you want to use those reviews if you have very specific – things that a guest should know before they book. What if you have very specific house rules that you want somebody to know? You know, like it's not the place to necessarily put your entire house rules on, but there are some house rules that are going to be a detractor for some guests. And you don't want them to book and then find out that they don't like your rules, right? And so there are some properties that have very specific things that you need to put in that description even before they book. So that we'll layer that on. That can get a little bit longer, right? Sometimes we have bullet points of some of the amenities, some of the things that are included. You'll start to say, here's what we have in there. On Harmon's right there. You got wine glasses, electric mixer, mini food processor, blender, crock pot, air fryer, waffle maker, Keurig, plenty of dishware. So the guest knows, like, that's okay to put toward the end, and you see it's a bullet pointed list.
Right.
Because those are things that are good to know before you book. If you're going to be having any sort of a party that you're going to be cooking for.
Right.
We have properties that book a lot of times on Thanksgiving, right? And or Christmas and Thanksgiving. Somebody's doing a Thanksgiving dinner at your property. It's nice to just be able to quickly list out the main things that you have as far as appliances. And then those small appliances that not every property has.
Okay, I love it. Talk to me about what someone should not put in there. Should you not put... I mean, of course, there's things like biases, I guess, or things where you may be too strict. But is there anything that's off limits? Something that you just – why would you put that in there?
No, not that's coming to mind. I mean, you can – you're trying to get somebody, the consumer, to say, yeah, I'm already – I made the short list. Like, what can I put in there when I've already made the short list of what they're looking at to get them over the top of saying, yeah, I want that property instead of somebody else's property. Because now they're probably reading reviews on five properties. And you're saying, okay, what can I put in there? There are times when you'll say, you don't need to be putting all of you, like, so I've heard people say, why put all your, the rules and all the things that you want that guest to do? I disagree with that. Because if somebody's going to be upset about my rules, I want them upset before they book my property, not after they book my property and they stay there and they give me a bad review for it, because there are things that I disagree with as far as house rules that people have. Like there are people that are like, you're going to be, you know, washing the dishes before you leave. You got to bring your own linens. You better put that in the, I would put that in the description, because there's going to be some people that don't want that. They're going to be like, no, I don't want to bring my own linens. I don't like, remember the house that you went to? You're like, you have to bring your own, you know, bed sheets or whatever it was.
And it was towels and stuff.
Yeah. I would, like, people would say, why would you put that in there? I disagree. Put it in there because if somebody's not going to like that, you want them to go book something else that they're more happy with than staying in your property and getting a bad review.
Couldn't agree more. I wish they would have told us that. That would have been awesome. Now, okay, here's we talked about rules. What about if, like, say your hot tub, something happened to your hot tub. Would you put it in that bio saying, we're in the middle of fixing this? Or
if it's a long-term, yes. If it's a, if it is a long-term issue, then you probably want it in there. Yeah. Okay. You need to let your guests know immediately when they book if it's a short-term issue and you didn't change your whole listing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're not going to change your whole listing when you have something like that go on, right? Okay. But you need to, the minute they book, say, hey, listen, I had a hot tub. It's not operational right now. Right. We're having issues with it. You're not, I can give you a discount. We can, you know, if you want to book something else. So certain things like that should make, you should probably, if it's short term, not necessarily change your whole listing and your description over that, but you need to let a guest know. If it's long term, let's say you have construction going on and you're in a brand new development. Some people hate construction noise. Other people could care less, right? So if you're saying, you know, if it's going to be lasting a year, we might say, hey, we got a, you know, we're in a beautiful new development. There is some construction going on, but all the amenities are done, and then talk about the other things going on. But sometimes you got to let somebody know that there is some new construction. We're in new construction or we're in a new development. There is new construction going on, you know, in the area. You know, if that bothers you, might not be the right property, but you know, we're, and then tell them, then say, but here's the, like all the good things about it. And so something like that, I might consider putting that in my description because those are things again, that can lead to bad reviews. And we've seen it over the years that that is something that, you know, it feels like half the people complain about, half the people don't. And so if that's going to bother somebody, let them know that. And again, just because it's in the description doesn't mean that you don't have to now tell them as soon as they book the property. Anything that you think can lead to a worse experience for that guest, you still want to tell them right after they book. Hey, the top hot tub's not working. Hey, the pool's, you know, down. Hey, the there's construction in the area. Those are some things that are coming to mind. But if you have something that is maybe an issue, make sure that you still tell them, even if it was in the description, you still tell them right after they book.
Okay. So this is a place for transparency. Transparency on how you, on your property, what you offer, what people think about it, and it's, what's going wrong. This is a transparency
place. It's and it's two things, right? It's like, hey, listen, use those third-party validation to tell this beautiful story about your property. You know, you want, you're, again, it's your opportunity to go from, you know, you're on the short list to go from I'm on the short list to they're booking my property. And people trust that third-party validation, all these amazing things about the property, all the things we love about it, reiterating that that great experience they're going to have. If there's issues or rules, and after you tell that story, then you start that kind of that bullet point, like, hey, here's just the information in there. And that can be really good to give that. And because one, it, it builds a lot of trust with your with the guest, that your host that does want to be very transparent and then say, okay, here's all the – maybe we have some crazy rules that we're going to put in there. If you do, maybe consider not having them. But if they are, put them in there. If you have something that's an issue or broken or construction, maybe you have that in there as a as a kind of a note. Please note that we're in a new development. There is construction going on. Okay. Some people don't like that. If that's you, maybe this isn't the right property.
Okay. I feel like they covered all the bases. I really love that. Let's go into our next point here, this loyalty program. Now, I had this idea. Now, tell me the honest feedback here. It kind of was thought of from Dave & Buster's. When I go to Dave & Buster's, I put money on one of those Dave & Buster's cards, right? And I can't use that card anywhere else except for Dave & Buster's. I have to return there to keep spending that money. Is there anything like that for our properties, whether it be a business card and when someone scans that QR code, you'll get 20% off your next booking or anything to immediately bring them back to spend more money at your property?
Yeah, so it's... business and marketing and sales is all about three things.
Okay.
Attracting a new customer, converting that customer, and then the biggest lever of making any money with any business is retaining the customer, right? Is it's way easier and cheaper to retain a customer than it is to attract and convert new customers. We focused all of our time and attention on attracting and converting new customers. And we don't have really good, like most people just don't have very good systems and processes on the back end to retain those customers. Dave & Buster's, for example, Topgolf, same thing, right? I get my Topgolf card and I put money on it. That's their way of saying, hey, listen, spend money here. And then usually you don't spend to the dollar of how much you have on that card. And you're like, man, I've got another 10 bucks that I've still got on that card. Let's go back.
Yeah.
Right. We don't have anything like that. Okay. And so we you know, a loyalty program, same with, you know, your airlines, your hotels, mm-hmm. they get the points and you mm-hmm. get, you have all these loyalty programs and mm-hmm. all these other places. I would love to figure out like a loyalty program that worked. The best mm-hmm. thing that we have found that works mm-hmm. for us is one, you're going to deliver an amazing experience. Mm-hmm. When we travel, many times we are creatures of habit. A lot of times people go back to the same places every single year. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll repeat and they go back to the kind of the same type of family trips. A lot of people don't diversify and do something different every single year. Mm-hmm. They'll have their kind of their set places that they like to go. Mm-hmm. So we have to kind of know that and say, okay, how can we retain these customers? Mm-hmm. First is you deliver an amazing experience. Then they're going to want to come back. Mm-hmm. Even when somebody wants to come back, if we don't make it easy for them to find us, mm-hmm. they're not coming back because they don't.
Yeah,
they might say, "I'm going to go find Sean on Airbnb or Vrbo mm-hmm. the next time I come back." Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck trying to find your properties and remembering, or you know, trying to look me back up. So it's my job as the host to be able to stay top of mind with them. And so this right. is where it comes in, where we do our newsletters and we do our mm-hmm. discounts for our returning customers. Mm-hmm. And so that's the biggest thing we do.
Okay.
We offer a 20% discount to any returning customer that comes back. But not only that, it's that's not enough for them to put that in their wallet or save it on their computer. Mm-hmm. We have to stay top of mind with them. And so we put them on our newsletter, and we do a monthly newsletter. Mm-hmm. And we talk about all the amazing things going on in the area. It's not a newsletter just saying, hey, book my property again. Like it's a very indirect marketing of our property. It's like the very last thing. Hey, if you're coming back and you're looking for a place to stay, mm-hmm. check out this property, right? Mm-hmm. And that's it. But the newsletter is favorite restaurants, any activities, festivals, something going on in the area that's a local area, some of the favorite activities or hikes or something that we would do in that area during that time of year, right? Mm. So we're going to talk about in the wintertime, this is what I would do here. In the summertime, this is what I do here. So every single month it's going out. So we're just saying our favorite things right. to do in that area. Right. So it keeps them, one, we know they like the area. Mm-hmm. And so it's something that they will look at and check out. And mm-hmm. it doesn't just get filtered to the spam folder, right? Because right. we're trying to stay top of mind by delivering very short, sweet, easy to consume newsletters that they can keep tabs on what's going on fun in the area. Mm-hmm. What that also does is sometimes they're like, oh man, I didn't know there was a balloon festival this next month. That would be really fun to go to.
Right.
Maybe we'll go check that out. And right. so we're, you know, sometimes it spurs a booking that you might not have got because they're you're keeping them informed of all these really fun things. So for us, not as much loyalty points programs. Mm-hmm. We do offer our customers, repeat customers, 20% off. And so we do give them a nice discount. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to be, you know, that they come back, book direct with us. They save 20%. It's a really nice discount for them. Mm-hmm. But it's our job for to make sure they can find us. And we do right. that with those top of mind campaigns.
Right.
And so once we come in, once we have their information, we're sending them newsletters monthly mm-hmm. and very indirectly saying, hey, by the way, if you're coming back, check out the property that you stayed in and that you had right. a great time in.
Right.
And so that's how we do it.
Okay.
You know, we've thought about a lot of different loyalty programs. We do QR codes and business cards yeah. and all of those things as well.
Yeah.
I feel like we get the biggest lift from the top of mind newsletter campaign.
Okay. Okay. That's interesting. Well, that answers that for me. All right, man, here we go. We're going into our third topic here.
Okay, let's do it.
This is a fun one for me. This is a friendly debate here on two sides. I'm going to take the side of I don't need a mentor. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So here we go. My first point is I can learn all of this material online for free. Well, that's why I don't need a mentor. What do you have to say?
Yes,
is that how you want to do this? Or I'll say,
you for rebuttal? Sure. You okay. pretend, yeah. I'll, okay. I'll and I'll tell you how
I can learn exactly all this answer. Online for free. I don't need you.
Yeah. You, I would 100% agree with you.
Okay.
Everything that we teach at Bodicy is available online. Uh-huh. Everything that we teach how to go through this, you can find out for free. You can find out by doing it yourself.
Right.
Do you want to? Right. Do you want to filter through all the stuff? You have, let's right. say you have, how experienced are you in this space?
Right.
Like
I'm not that experienced at all. This is my first time doing it.
Okay. So yes, your answer to the, you can find it all for free is absolutely 100%. Yes. Exclamation point. Go do it. Do you want to do that?
No, not really. I don't really want to.
Why?
Because it takes a lot of time. It takes okay. a lot of time.
Yeah. Okay.
No, so, I hope you know. I don't believe these things.
No, man. No, no. I know, but you take okay. be the devil's advocate. This okay, is yeah. a conversation yeah, okay. we have. Okay, you're do you right, want to do right. it? If you tell me yes, awesome.
Right.
How can we support you? Right.
No, I don't want to do it, but I. All right, next point, dude. Fine, you won on that one. All right, next
I'm not trying to win. I'm just trying to say, like, this is what you have to think about anytime you do anything, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's but I am trying to win. There's a reason, you know, Spark Notes are a thing. You're right. You know, people love Spark Notes for a reason. Okay, here we go to the next one. Having a coach becomes a crutch. Now, I can kind of understand this one a little bit more.
Okay.
If I have you to lean on all the time, then maybe I don't have as much willingness or discipline to go out and make that build that life I don't want to take a vacation from, because I can just bother Sean. I can ask Sean. I can go to Sean.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
I think that if you're like anything you're going to be doing, right? Are you hiring me to do it for you? Like, I don't have any done for you programs because of one reason, because like there's a lot of people that are like, hey, listen, you pay me X amount, I'll go find you the property, I'll get it set up, I'll hand it off to you after it's operational, and you don't know anything about the game, you could fall flat on your face because this is an ongoing, like this is something that you need to know what adjustments to make, iterations to make, all that stuff. So for us in our program, this is a done with you program, right? You can lean on me. That's what we want you to do. My goal is for you to not have to reinvent everything that I've gone through the last 20 years.
Right.
And so, yes, you should use me as a crutch, but also as using me as a crutch, you're still doing it. You're still implementing. You're using me to help you execute, but I'm not executing for you. And so a true mentor or a coach, you know, we're not shooting the ball for you.
Right.
Like, I can't get on the field for you.
Right.
I'm going to show you how to do the things and make, you know, but I'm still saying, hey, like, here's the ball. You're in the game.
Yeah. Go play.
Yeah. Go play the game. And you're still, you know, you're accelerating your progress on learning and by not having to make all the same mistakes, but you're going to still make some mistakes. The other nice thing about having that crutch to lean on is to go back and say, man, I screwed this one up a little bit. How do we make this adjustment? And you say, hey, and the nice thing about a coach or a mentor is going to say, here, I made that same mistake back in the day. Here's how we adjust here. Here's the iteration we make. Otherwise, you're just on your own trying to figure it out.
Right.
You should be learning the whole time, though. Right. Now, that's different than going and hiring me to do everything for you, because that truly, you're not learning anything. I'm just doing it and handing it over to you. Some things that can work for in certain things when it's a long-term investment that I'm going to hand over to you and then walk away, and I'm not going to be there for you the rest of the time, which is what a lot of done for you programs are designed to do. You pay me for a one-time service and I'm out.
Yeah.
When you have a problem or there's an issue, who are you going to call? You call me back up and say, hey, and I say, okay, well, yeah, I'll help you, Jake, but here's you're going to pay me a little bit more.
A little cost to go with it.
Yeah. And I don't, now we don't do that. That's not how our program works, but it's how a lot of stuff works.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. The word crutch, I think, is where we have the problem, because the crutch implies that you have like a broken foot or something, where in this case you don't. You're not broken. You can keep walking by yourself. And plus, I did point out you saying Sean's the crutch, but in our program you do have the thousands of members that you can also lean on.
Well, yeah, and you're not crutch, coach, mentor, whatever you want to call it. Like, you know, you're stacking the odds in your favor by having some experience that you don't have in your pocket, right? And that's the name of the game. It's not that, again, it's not that there's any secrets. Anybody that tells you they've got a secret that nobody else knows, you should run from that person as far and as fast as you can.
Yeah.
Because that's not true. Mm-hmm. Back to your first point, I can find out all this stuff on my own. Absolutely you can. Everything's available online for free. Absolutely it is. Mm-hmm. No question. You don't hire coaches, in my opinion, good coaches, you don't hire them necessarily for the information. A good coach is going to help you with the information. You're going to have resources to give you. They're going to help you with, you know, what to do. Mm-hmm. It's when you start executing, you're going to have issues. You're going to need to make adjustments. Like anything you look at, like the best athletes in the world have coaches. The best business people in the world have coaches. Mm-hmm. They're not running down those roads themselves. They're leaning on mentors the whole time so that they don't have to reinvent the wheel of a mistake somebody else made, so that they can take that baton and run faster and farther than somebody else ran.
Okay, I'm going to revisit a point at the very end of this. But okay, everyone's path is unique. Man, I want a different kind of property than your other people. I have a different amount of budget than these other people. There's no way you can help me with my unique situation. I'm different than them. What is that now?
You 100% agree. Every deal's unique. Every person's situation is unique, which is why I can't stand the programs that make them like these cookie cutter, like blanket statements. This works for that. Like, it doesn't, everything doesn't work the same for everybody else. What is not unique is the fundamentals. the fundamentals are constant. Mm. You know, when we started doing this back in 2006 and we started building out this program and building out the fundamentals, I wrote a book that started back in 2017, didn't release it until 2020. Mm-hmm. The fundamentals are laid out in there. What the hell is a lifestyle asset? We go back and we look at them. Nothing has changed. The market's changed a ton. Mm-hmm. The fundamentals have not changed. But mm-hmm. every deal is unique in real estate. Every person's situation is unique. So even though we're mm-hmm. following the same blueprint, even though we're following the same path and we're following the same fundamentals mm-hmm. overall mm-hmm. on underwriting, setting up and managing a property, marketing, all the fundamentals are right. constant.
Right.
Our portfolios look completely different. Why is that? Mm. Because of our unique situations, our unique budgets, our unique property goals, our unique like properties themselves mm. in markets that we're in. Mm. All of that is very unique. And so understanding how to apply those fundamentals to those unique situations is why we have so much success within Vodacy. I truly believe because we don't vary on the fundamentals. We haven't had to. Mm. Like people are like, man, this is the same. These are the same things we've been talking about for how long now? And yeah. it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And how many people just change with the wind and they say, oh, no, now this is what's different. This is what's different. No, we make changes based on markets for sure. But you always hear us go back to the fundamentals because that's why they're there. They're the foundation that you're going to build everything upon.
Mm. Good answer. Okay, you're burning through these. I like this style. Okay, last question here, or last one here. There's so many mentors out there. How can I trust you? How do I know that you're actually... Now, this seems kind of more of a question where it sounds like I'm trying to say, show me your credentials, show me why I should trust you. But it's more of a question of I'm more skeptical because of there's so many gurus out there, so many secret sauces out there, so many... Like, how, I don't know. I'm worried that you're the right one because there's just so many other ones out there.
Yeah, and this is really a good concern, and and I'm glad when somebody actually has it instead of just blindly going out and thinking that everything that they find online is true. Like your first question is, it's all available, but guess what else is available online? There's good information online, and there's really shitty information available online. With no experience, how are you going to filter through what's good and what's bad? It's really hard, and it becomes more and more difficult. There is a trust recession. We should be skeptical. We should be like, man, okay, you know, Sean's just another one of those guys helping people do this. Mm. And because there's a bunch of them out there, right? And how can I trust them? Mm. There's a reason why you can't find anywhere online, you've never been able to find anywhere online, how to sign up for Vodacy. There's no just sales page to join Vodacy's mentorship program because we believe in the consumer doing some due diligence. And one of the biggest and best ways to do due diligence is get on the phone with somebody, have a conversation with them. You can tell whether they're going through their 10-point sales presentation or whether they're actually listening, helping you like, hey, what's your situation? What are you trying to do? Where are you trying to go? Where's the starting point? Is this asset class even worth it for you? Is it a good move for you? Because short-term rentals aren't for everybody. When we talk to people on the phone, 80% of the people we talk to, this is not the right path for them, truly. And we have to be able to say, you know what, it's not the right path. And not everybody can be sold. I had one mentor that I hired on the sales side a little while back, and their whole attitude is every single person can be sold. Every person. And and they were this hardcore closing kind of organization. And we didn't last very long because it wasn't we didn't see eye to eye. And they've taken a few of our competitors to do way more business than us, frankly, and over the years, because they can't, like, there are people that you can close just for the fact of, you know, painting the picture and saying, yeah, we can run down this road. We don't believe that. So as a consumer, get on the phone with multiple people, get on the phone and fill them out. Like talk to the people you're actually going to be working with. Make sure that the people that you're talking to are actually in this game, right? All of our strategy coaches, they're not hired salespeople. They are all from our group, from our mentorship program. They have portfolios. They're higher income earners. They're talking, and they're people that are a few steps ahead of somebody that they're going to be talking to. They understand the game that we play. They understand the pros, but they also understand the cons. And so they're able to assess a situation and say, yeah, Jake, this is right for you. It's not. When you talk to somebody like that as a consumer,
okay,
you're going to, you know, your guard's already up. You're already skeptical. And so you're going to be trying to poke holes in the conversation anyways.
Right.
And the more conversations you have, the easier it's going to be able to figure out who knows what they're talking about, who doesn't. And it's not hard. Right? You can get on and tell who's genuine. You can get on and tell who's actually there just trying to close you, or somebody that is saying, hey, listen, we're here for you. Let us know the resources. And then also there are times when you're like, hey, listen, this you're in a great position to do this. This is going to help you reach those goals that you're trying to reach. Mm-hmm. And when they've taken the time to actually diagnose your situation instead of write you a prescription just because you walked in the door, you know, you're going to know that because you're going to trust that, hey, when I tell you it's a good move or a bad move, there's going to be some basis behind it because we had a conversation about it. We had a conversation about what you're trying to do, where you're at. We talked about the pros and the cons. We talked about the things that the struggles with short-term rentals, and you were okay with them or not okay with them, one of the two. But when you take the time to diagnose a situation, and then before you prescribe the solution, you're going to notice that as a consumer. So my advice is, if you are considering hiring a coach or hiring a mentor, don't talk to just one and talk to multiple people. Go out and set up strategy sessions and sales calls with other, you know, multiple mentor that you're finding out there and figure out which one you feel like is the best fit for you. Because I think as a consumer, you will find it is very obvious when you have those conversations, who's really trying to help and who's just running through a sales call.
Right. Yeah.
You're talking to, ask them how many properties do they have? Yeah. How long have they been investing? Yeah. You know, if you're talking to somebody that's never invested, say, can I talk to somebody that has, you know, and then that next layer, go look online what other people are saying about them. Right.
That was my last question of how can you really, tell the difference in the coaches? What should you look for when you're talking to these people? So, okay. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Well, hey, man, we're at 36 minutes. That was fantastic. Nice. Went over the debate. I think you did really good, man. Honestly, I think I'm sold. I think I want to join.
You ready for a mentorship?
I think I'm ready for a mentorship, man.
So your skepticism has faded?
It's faded away, man. I think that makes a lot of sense, especially when you were talking about the always be closing, you know, when the idea that either you're going to close the person on the sales call or they're going to close on you by telling you that they don't have the time, they don't have the money, they don't have whatever. And so when the walls go down, the transparency comes up, when you really start to get to know a person, the trust becomes to build, that seems like a key cornerstone foundational piece of how are you going to work with this person? If you're going to hire this person, you're going to work with them, you're going to ask them questions. What's your communication style like? Do they want to listen to you, or are they just going to tell you what you need to do, that kind of thing? So yeah. I think you hit the nail.
When I talk to my strategy coaches, and this is odd, is we're trying to decide if that consumer and that prospect is the right fit as well. Mm-hmm. I know that they're trying to vet us out, but we're doing the same. Like we know what it takes to succeed in this game. We know the recipe. Like there's no doubt in my mind that I can teach somebody how to succeed in short-term rentals because we've done it so many times.
Right.
But that doesn't mean, and the reason I tell our entire Vodacy team, you've heard me say this before, the reason we have so much success inside of Vodacy is because we're only letting the people in that are committed to this. This is a priority.
Yes.
Like that they really are one in a position to do it, but also they need to be committed to that this is going to be a priority for them because if they are, it's a really fun road to run down together.
Right.
Because, you know, just like we were talking about the deer hunt, you know, like, man, we saw that deer 1,000 yards away.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a job.
Through the storm.
We're going to hike 5 miles. Yeah. We're going to get that sucker. We're going to deal with a blizzard on the way back out. And then we have a lot of fun. So we had to be committed, right?
Right.
We had to be.
Right.
And so we're looking for that. Is this a priority for somebody? And it's not for everybody, right? It is when you talk to, and we talk to a lot of people, when you're talking to somebody and they're like, man, I'm not going to spend the time. I don't think I'm going to do this. And you know, what are you going to do here for me? And what are you going to do there for me? And everybody's saying, hey, you know, to your crutch point, and they're saying, and they tell people, listen, I'll run down the road as fast and as hard as you want to run, but I'm not running for you. I'm not carrying you. Right. I'm going to put my arm around you and we'll run together and I'm going to push you and I'm going to encourage you at times. And I'm going to say, hey, come on, pick it up. But I've got to see that level of commitment and priority in you that you actually want to make a change. And I think that, so it kind of goes both ways. That's why I love those conversations to figure out one, you know, I can, you know, you could, as much as you're going to be able to tell whether we're genuine and whether we're really have, you know, the experience that we say we have, versus are you really wanting to run down this road? Mm-hmm. Is this a road that you want to run down? These are long-term decisions. These are big life decisions to build a portfolio of something like short-term rentals. Mm. This isn't saying, hey, I'm going to go buy a Bitcoin today and I'm going to see what happens. And if it goes up or down or whatever, I don't have to do a lot with it. I'm just going to see what happens and hopefully hope for the best. This is, hey, I'm going to build a portfolio that is going to take some work. I'm going to have to roll up my sleeves. This is going to take some, you know, some effort and sacrifice, both financially and time-wise. Mm-hmm. And then I want to look back in 5 years and say, man, I can't believe what I built. Yeah. And there's not everybody that wants to do that. Mm. And so we look for that as well when we're having those conversations.
I mean, that's not a crazy concept at all. I mean, look at any sport. The coach isn't the one playing the game. You know, if I'm watching UFC, the coach doesn't get out and start finding the guy. He's there when the bell hits to, you know, put some water in his mouth, wipe the blood off and say, you can keep going.
Yeah.
So that's not a crazy concept. It makes complete sense to me, but 40 minutes, we've hit our target. That's it. That's all we got.
That's it. We're calling it.
Calling it, man.
All right, guys. Well, we always appreciate you spending your time with us. We hope you got value out of these episodes. We've been growing really nicely lately because of you guys sharing the show.
Yes, sir.
And even if you don't have anybody to share the show with that you think would be a part of these conversations, those things are appreciated. But also, if you like it and review it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on, those platforms share the show with more people. And so you guys have been doing an amazing job of that. We want to thank you for that because the show has been growing. And so we very, very much appreciate it because we don't run sponsorships or ads on the show. And so the only way that happens is with you guys. And so we will keep going. If you guys have questions, always as a reminder, we haven't reminded them for a little while. Right. Send those questions in to support@odyssey.com. We'll make sure we answer them on an upcoming episode. And so if you are listening and you're like, man, I wish I could hear Sean and Jake's take on this topic, send it in, support@odyssey.com. If you want to be part of some of the deals that we have coming up, also email in support@odyssey.com and just put deals and we'll keep you informed on some of the big developments that have been going on.
Exciting stuff.
We're looking at. Yeah.
Very
exciting stuff. And so we'll wrap it up for the day. At the end, you guys know, I always ask you that one really important favor. Pick that one thing you can do today. Start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website? Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.